interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday. Close out the month of September edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Just absolutely relishing a Saints win over the Cowboys on 103.7 The Game. No two ways to put it. That was sweet. Ben Love, joined by the famous Clint D, for the next 2.5 hours. We'll relive that game. Look ahead to what's next for Who Dat Nation. We'll talk the Raging Cajuns. Best start in the last 7 years for this program. And we'll look ahead to LSU getting back on the gridiron. That, plus the latest in prep football from our Acadiana area. And a good afternoon to you. It was done with defense. Yeah, both of the teams that played that we frequent this weekend. It was done with defense in Statesboro, Georgia, and it was done with defense certainly last night in the Dome. What we saw from the Saints was extraordinary. And as much as the offense has had to diversify, clearly, life without Drew Brees, the defense is no longer Cam Jordan and a bunch of other stiffs. Not even a little bit. Demario Davis continues to take over. Marshawn Lattimore had a throwback to his rookie season style of performance in locking up Amari Cooper and putting him in a straitjacket, and the rest of the Saints defense as well. Spectacular. David Onyemata, great performance. I thought it was the best game in this young season for the second-year pro out of UTSA, in Marcus Davenport. Sheldon Rankin's back in there. Malcolm Brown heard from. The Saints did it with defense. Special teams, certainly, they did their part. Will, Lutz, 4 field goals. Saints scratched 12 across, and that's all that's needed. It was done with defense in New Orleans. As I told you, same thing in Statesboro, Georgia. If not for 2 muffed punts, that is a blowout game over a good conference opponent and on the road. I mean, that had every bit the makings of a 20 to 24 point win for the Cajuns. And just like Dennis Allen's defense led the charge for the well-balanced New Orleans Saints, Ron Roberts' defense, as predicted by Billy Napier on this program way back when in June and July, that's the most improved unit for UL football, and it's not even particularly close. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't a one-unit lopsided affair in either game. Clint, I said the Cajuns might run for 275 yards. I believe I set that Friday as the over-under. How many yards did they run for?
That was exactly how much they ran for, 275 yards. So basically, over-under got a push.
So we don't need to go to Vegas. We need to be employed by Vegas.
We are Vegas.
The offense and the ground game had it going in Statesboro. The Saints, in some regards, had it going when they needed it, getting Michael Thomas involved a little bit earlier, a little more often, more of a Jared Cook sighting than we've seen since Teddy Bridgewater has taken over. But here's the thing. Speaking of over-unders and what we share with you on Friday, Bridgewater sacked 5 times, 44 yards in reverse. The amount of penalties, especially on the O-line, woof. The ground game mustered up 117 yards, and the team as a total put up only 266 yards. But you know what? We have fun with those over-unders on Friday, but that's exactly what it is. It's just fun. Ultimately, let me be real with you. Screw stats. W's are what matters. And the Saints just brought home one of the biggest W's in this young NFL season. Yeah, I see you, Jameis Winston in Tampa. What you did on the road at L.A. yesterday in the Coliseum was awfully impressive. And a few other NFL teams, they've had their moments in the sun as well. But the Saints beating the Cowboys without Drew Brees was incredibly impressive. And what it proved to me, and what I'll tell you on a Monday after, The Saints are a great team, and that is a hell of a lot more important than 300 yards of total offense. And they keep doing it in different ways. And so the other thing that this screams is that the Saints are buying into everything that Sean Payton and company are feeding them at this point. The Saints stayed on the road after losing at L.A., losing their team leader, and kept it together enough to where defense and special teams got them home. Last night in the Dome, great home crowd, and defense got it done. Enough defense when they needed it. I'm sorry, enough offense when they needed it. But it's incredible to think of the different ways that New Orleans is winning football games. And so forget the stats. 3-1, baby. And Who Dat Nation should feel awfully good on a day after. In fact, we got some time for you to weigh in. 706-0111. 3-1 and an opportunity to sprint toward that bye week at a heck of a lot better than 4-4. I think that 6-2 is not off the table at this point. Not with the competition that's coming up. Not with other teams, quarterbacks falling left and right. And hasn't that been just an incredibly peculiar trend to this 2019 NFL season? Eli Manning out. Everybody says the Giants just weren't a very good team. We even said it on this program. Probably isn't really all that much Eli's fault. Not very much around him. Daniel Jones in. They went two straight games. Nick Foles out in Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew is winning games against the Titans. And then yesterday on the road, thanks to Leonard Fournette, in Mile High Country. Drew Brees goes out. The Saints went two straight games. Oh, by the way, against teams that went to the playoffs in the NFC last year and look like they might just be the cream of the NFC crop this year. And so if anybody abandoned their playoff plans because Brees went out with a thumb injury, you might want to find that bandwagon and hold on to it for dear life. Because we can start, as I told you last week, with the win against the Cowboys, we can again start having the conversation about getting there with Brees healthy, and then where are you seated in the playoffs? Do you have a bye week? We can start having those conversations again. And something else that crossed my mind last night, I don't know about you, but in one of the 8,000 shots and takeaways to Brees on the sideline to get his reaction, in one of those shots, I eventually had the thought, I wonder if Brees' arm strength will be as good as it's been in the last 5 years come December and January because of how fresh you would imagine that he'll be. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of strenuous rehab. We kind of got to watch that last night. Dude was playing like an eternal game of like basically thumb war with himself on the sideline. But the rehabbing's not going to be with the shoulder. It's not going to be with the elbow. It's not going to be with that continuous motion of throw that 15-yard out route to Michael Thomas, go over the top to Ted Ginn Jr. And so I think there's a chance this Saints team, you hate to say they'll be better off because of the Brees injury, but all just might be well that ends well for the Saints. That was an incredibly prideful win last night over the Dallas Cowboys, and probably couldn't have happened to a more deserving franchise than Jerry Jones Group with the star on their helmet, if you don't mind me saying so. All right, big program today with you for 2.5 hours, and Gus Kattengill hopping aboard in about 20 minutes. We'll take you to New Orleans for live reaction after the Saints dusted off the boys. And yeah, it wasn't always pretty, but without Brees, I don't think it necessarily has to be. So Gus Kattengill at 1:30. Ruffin Rodri coming aboard at 5:15. We'll start with the Cajuns when Ruffin comes aboard, and then we'll get to LSU football. And at straight up 6 o'clock, James Buers, the latest from the prep gridiron. STM, huge win over Neville. Catholic of Baton Rouge coming in next week. We will preview all of that with James Buers at 6 o'clock. After this quick break, we'll talk a little LSU football scheduling and then your sink or swim question of the day. So don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports will return quickly on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Saints over the Cowboys, still on the minds of many. And I do promise we'll get right back into it. But how about scheduling news from earlier today? You know how it goes down. You always get the start time and the network affiliation of a game on one Saturday, 2 Mondays prior. And so now we know, October the 12th, LSU, Florida, in Baton Rouge, first time in BR in what feels like about 7 years. It'll be a 7 p.m. kickoff on the mothership. Why? CBS chose Alabama, Texas A&M. That's a fairly mind-boggling decision for me. However, there are some, and again, I would say that some is a little bit more in the know than me, this particular group. There are some who are suggesting this paves the way for CBS to negotiate with the mothership for rights to LSU-Bama. And so maybe, just maybe, the news of today might have some causation into the future, and maybe November 9 in T-Town will be played at nighttime again. I'll start off by saying LSU Florida at night is going to be spicy. There's no two ways around that. So I'm okay with that. I just kind of naturally assumed that Florida, Auburn would be 2:30 kickoffs on CBS from Death Valley. And as we've been told for the better part of 3 months or so, I figured that LSU, Bama, and Tuscaloosa would be a 2:30 kick. And now I'm here to tell you, I think there's a chance that two of the three are at night. Isn't that bizarre? Again, why CBS is just gravitating toward having Bama, the number two team in the country, as opposed to the number four or five team in the country, I don't really get that one, because the matchup seems a lot better, LSU-Florida. The rivalry is sure shooting better. These two teams have very genuine hatred. So why Bama A&M? I don't really understand. But again, if it paves the way for something a little different, CBS is saying we'll keep our eggs in the LSU-Bama basket and negotiate for a second nighttime game. And again, this has happened before. CBS has done this before. Boy, wouldn't that be something. All right, enough of the LSU scheduling, at least for now. CD, I want to dive into our sink or swim question of the day. It is Saints-related, and I'll hit that note right after the question. Exciting and new. Or hit that question right after the note. What ifs? Let's get down to business. Who was the most impressive performer for the Saints in last night's win over the Cowboys? Most impressive performer. Clint, I need you to lead off, and then we need a little bit from YP, you people out there in listener land. 706-0111. Go.
It seems way too easy to go with this pick, but I'm going to go with it anyways and go with Von Bell. He was the player of the game in my mind. Obviously, double-digit tackles, and those two fumble recoveries were absolutely huge. He's also kind of a menace overall. I absolutely enjoyed what I saw from him in his performance. And Von Bell has been a player I feel like people had kind of written off for a bit, and this performance he put together was the big reason why I haven't written him off yet. And I feel like that one's a little bit too easy, but it's the way to go.
If I were to give it to an overall position grouping, it would be the defensive line. I thought they were the stars of the game, and I spoke to that in the lead. I'm going to come down between, when it comes to individuals, Clint, I'm going to be down between Marshawn Lattimore and Will Lutz. And I understand that Lutz provided all the points that the Saints needed in the ball game, 12-10. But I think by a nose, I'm going Marshawn Lattimore. And I've dogged him out a little bit for his performance first couple of games of this season. This just kind of seems to be how he goes the last 2 years. And frankly, it's kind of how the Saints' defense has gone. They look a little bit lost in the wilderness the first two games. They start to get it together, and then you find yourself wondering around week four, five, six, holy smokes, is this one of the top 5 or 10 defenses in the league? Is that possible? And you watch them last night, hard to not ask yourself that question. Marshawn Lattimore on the stat sheet will be credited with 4 total tackles, no interceptions, and I'll still tell you that for me he was the most impressive performer, because I think we all listened to that game last night that Chris Collinsworth told us, I don't know, maybe about 15 times, that Amari Cooper is the best man-to-man route runner in the league, that may be so. I like to think of him as just one of the best deep threats in the league. And I know what I see. And since coming over from the Oakland Raiders, Dak Prescott's been a different quarterback because of Amari Cooper. That's what I see. And so more than Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, and that usually dominant offensive line, more than Zeke Elliott, who typically has just a magnet to a 100-yard performance, I think Amari Cooper is the biggest difference in this Cowboys team. And he was completely neutralized last night. Sure, he had a couple of grabs late third quarter in the fourth quarter as the Cowboys are trying to make a mad dash back in it. But if you can lock down the other team's best receiver and an unquestioned top deep threat in the league, you just tilt the game on its head. And the Cowboys went from being a team that was scoring 20-plus on everybody to one that I think we all recognize almost even struggled to get to 10 last night. The Saints' defense was superb. And so to not go with a defensive player in a question like this would basically be sacrilege. And so, Clint, I respect where you're heading. You're in the secondary as well, going with Von Bell. And he did have some big plays early in the contest. But I'm going with Marshon Lattimore. And sometimes being a cornerback is a little bit like being a long snapper or a holder. If we don't hear your name, that is the best news possible. All right, call us up. We got a few moments in this segment before we head down to New Orleans. Gus Kattengill hopping aboard in less than 10 minutes. Give us your most impressive performer for the Saints in last night's win over the Cowboys. 706-0111. We'll take it to the Twitter machine at KSB1976. Lutz getting overlooked by many. Saints had a team total of over 100 yards rushing against Dallas D-line, and considering all the holding penalties, should have been more. So the Saints rushing game, we're hearing from one of our loyal fans and listeners on Twitter, maybe better than expected, took a step forward, but he's giving it to Will Lutz. We're getting a ton of response on Facebook, so let's air that out on the program as well. Cullen F., he's in my camp. He's going with Lattimore. Jamie G., I also have to say Lattimore finally started showing some greatness again. Shane C., Lutz and the whole defense. Boy, I don't know that we can air this out, but I guess we'll try. Jamie G. doubles down with D's Lutz. Clint, I know you've been wanting that all show long, and Chris W. going with Lutz as well. He has been something else, hadn't he? You think about Will Lutz this season. He gives you a game winner after an improbable 42-second comeback against Houston in the opener. He crushes from past 50 yards on that one as well. Between Lutz and Morstead, I wouldn't trade the two guys that do it with their feet for anybody else's duo in the league.
They're hands down the best kind of duo that you can ever imagine. I mean, we saw what happened 2 weeks ago with that Seattle game where he pinned the Seahawks offense deep, and I think that was a big reason why they were able to come away with the win, pinning him inside their own 10-yard line. You do that with consistency. And he had one that came close in that game last night against the Cowboys. I think he wound up getting around the 18 and had some backspin on it.
So I give you the Snoop Dogg send-off version of the D's Lutz.
Yes.
And that reminded me, we never brought this to the show last week, but apparently Nick Saban's a big fan of yes. jokes of that variety as well.
Yeah, that was from a couple weeks ago on the Dan Patrick Show. I believe Josh Jacobs was the one who unearthed that information, and I think everybody's been having fun with it. I'm sure one day we're going to have to try and infiltrate a SEC teleconference call and ask him, what about those jokes?
Yeah, we need an in-depth investigatory coup, yes. if you will. Let's just get all the morons from Barstool and Clay Travis at the same time to just go straight to SEC Media Days
yes.
next July and ask Nick
in
Saban
Nashville.
To give his favorite Snoop Dogg jokes that he yes. likes to make, apparently, and he just doesn't tell the rest of us. God bless Josh
Who would have
Jacobs.
Thought that?
I would not have guessed that. So D's Lutz, Nick Saban's version of that is a little bit different, but you could probably have a couple of brain cells knocking around and figure out exactly what Saban's druthers are. All right, halfway home in our first hour. When we return, we'll keep the Saints convo going. Gus Kattengill will join us. I do want to get to LSU, let you hear what Ed Ogeron had to say at the mic today. We'll do that at the end of our 4 o'clock hour. And more on the Raging Cajuns between 5 and 6. That dream matchup against App State, it's intact. And so a week from Wednesday, it's going down at Cajun Field. I think even on a weeknight, you can expect one of the best crowds in a long time, and you could watch a matchup of a couple of teams that are going to be inside the top 60 RPI in the country. What a time for the Sun Belt Conference. What a time for Billy Napier and UL football. All right, we'll be right back in and taking you out to New Orleans. On the other side, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Hard to know where to start after the Saints pull off an improbable and wildly entertaining 12-10 win over the Cowboys. Let's take you out to New Orleans aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. Gus Kattengill, our guest. You can listen to him in the afternoons on ESPN 100.3. His show is The Sports Hangover, and never a doubt last night, right, Gus?
So, I tell you one thing that's crazy is, you know, we had Pelicans Media Day today, dude, and, you know, being the Pel flagship, I talked 3 hours about it. It was nuts, man. I just sit here and Zion's up. Every time I wanted to get to the huge win, now here comes Gentry, here comes J.J. Redick. So, I didn't talk about it nearly as much, but trust me, man, it's all over around here. Heard it this morning, dropping off the kid to school, and just everywhere, man. It's you. A, it's the Cowboys. B, you're 3-1 coming out of that first quarter of the season. Look, I'll say this. It's very rare, and it's been a long, long time, and you saw a lot of people do write-ups on it. You go back to, you know, the Dome Patrol days where – it was Jim Moore's style. Look, don't kill yourself. Punt it if you have to. Let the defense win you the game. I hadn't seen that style of football around here, but look, man, weeks from now, maybe towards the end of the season, heck, a day later, it's a win. It's all that matters. You're 3-1. Six other teams in the NFC have the same record as you. At the top, you're among them. There's only one unbeaten at San Fran at a bye. So far, to me, it's mission accomplishment with Teddy Bridgewater. You're still in the fight. You're still in the game. And you're getting closer to Drew Brees, and you haven't lost. That's all you can hope for.
Gus, whether we're talking an individual player or position grouping, where did this defense take the biggest step forward last night?
I think, honestly, the biggest step forward was, because we've seen last year, they were a pretty good team in being able to stop the run at times. And we've seen them at times do really good in the secondary, right? Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams playing well. You just hadn't seen them really kind of put it together, at least not this season. I mean, to the point where, Ben, I'm sure on your show, you probably got it as well. There were listeners and callers who, hey, Marshawn Lattimore needs to step it up. And I thought it was funny last Monday, Pro Football Focus individual put a tweet out there that he, of all cornerback has given up the most yards, and he tweeted before he deleted it that he said that's because we're playing a lot of zone, but don't worry, I got y'all. So we had been starting to talk about that because we were wondering, was it the play of Marcus Williams, was it just game plan, what was the reason that you weren't seeing more man coverage, you know, if it was an issue or not as to why you were not seeing it. So I thought it was interesting that he tweeted that, but, man, he came out yesterday and really played well, played a heck of a game.
Talking Saints football with Gus Kattengill on 103.7 The Game. Offensively, it was a little ugly. It was a lot ugly with the penalties, and the sack taken at the end I think was enough to make most people almost jump out of their skin. But how did they find a way to do just enough to get it done?
Alvin Kamara. I just think when you got him, man, you know, he makes 10-yard runs look beautiful and magnificent. And I think one of the things that you realize when you have a player like him, you have to somehow get him the ball. And look, you know, Michael Thomas, a lot of people say, well, why was he worth the money he did? Because of that, because when it's thrown to him, he'll catch it. You know, I mean, and you know, can you use him more? Would you like deeper routes? Would you like to see the ball push more? Believe me, I'm screaming it too, but it's at the end of the day, it's this. You don't turn the ball over, you know. A lot of those sacks, Drew Brees probably throws out of that, knows where to go with it. I think the one thing that there's some growth to grow, and Sean Payton said this yesterday, that there's some things that he can do better, is right now it just looks like the offense they're playing is, here's one read, one look. If you don't like it, sack it or throw it away. You know, it's not – we're so used to Brees surveying the field and going to multiple options and reads and seeing a lot more people involved. But I think right now – it's survival mode, Ben. It's get to Drew. I mean, that's how I kind of look at it. But in the process, I think you're sort of finding maybe some other elements of the DNA of a pretty good football team, if that makes sense.
I completely agree. I think they're finding that all around they're a better football team than they've been in a number of years. Gus, let's stick with the offense. Is that line in trouble? And I know they've had some injuries. They've got a rookie at center. With the number of penalties, with the sacks given up, are they in trouble or can they – come to form when it's going to matter most?
Man, I've really been surprised, haven't you, Ben, by the play of that offensive line? I mean, I still think it can be a strength, right? I'm not ready to say it's not a strength on this team, because I think there's a ton of potential with them. I'm just really, really surprised by, you know, I mean, look, a buddy of mine said, you know, Teron Armstead, you know, got walked like a dog yesterday. I mean, it was just bad, but I would have thought you would have seen a lot more consistent play, I think, compared to anyone that we've seen so far. But from him, you know, I can expect if, you know, McCoy is going to struggle every now and then. But Warford, Armstead, I mean, these are vets, Pete, you know, vet as well. Now, again, at the same time, man, you can sit there and say, look, you're playing a very good line. Dallas's defense is sick, dude. I mean, they got some athletic linebackers, athletic defensive ends. I mean, Robert Quinn was playing like he was playing in a Madden game, one against Armstead. So, but here's the thing. To answer your question, Ben, what happened in that last drive? I know Teddy took the sack, and they didn't get points, but they ran the football, took a ton of clock off. I want to say, Ben, what was it, two or three first or third downs that they converted that – were huge, right? I mean, that at the very least changed the field, changed position on the field, and that was huge. And I think that was something that was big. And they did it by running the football. So I think, to me, credit Sean Payton for doing it and realizing, hey, you have to run the ball here. And he trusted a line that hadn't gotten any blocks, dude. Think about that. They needed first downs. They went to the ground, and they weren't blocking anybody. So kudos to them to do it, but that's where you saw the potential. I mean, that last drive, while they got no points, they took a ton of clock, they changed the field position, and they forced Dallas to have to go a long way.
All right, amigo, you've mentioned Brees coming back several times. Now I got what I think is a difficult one for you. Does the way they're playing impact how quickly they have to bring him back? And the part that makes that tough is that you know Nine's going to want to force the issue and come back as soon as humanly possible. But if they're winning games, can you be conservative?
I think you're seeing some sort of a conservative level right now to it, right? I mean, because I think you're seeing not the kind of play calling that we're used to seeing. And I think that's understandable, and I think it's smart. But at the same time, you know, man, who the fuck is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be the highest scoring team right now that they're going to face on Sunday? I mean, they dropped 55 against the Rams. The Saints couldn't get first downs against them. So, you know, I think if you can sneak two more wins, Ben, am I wrong? If you can sneak two more and he's out six, that's above 500. I think, man, best case scenario would be a game over 500 or so. I mean, I'd love to only lose one, if not two games total in the time that Drew Brees is gone. So I think this Tampa game is key. It's at home. You're going to have advantage on that home crowd here as well. These games are always close between these two teams, but if that defense can sort of do that and win and get a win here, look, man, I think you can if you get two more wins, I think you can look at it and say, we will see you in Atlanta. You know, we'll see you against Atlanta here at home. After the bye week, the Cardinals, you should be able to beat them. So I think two more wins. If Teddy and the offense can do just enough and that defense can get just two more wins the rest of the way before Drew comes back, I think it'd be magnificent.
Gus, before we let you go, your take on the brief time that we saw from Sheldon Rankins last night.
It's great. And especially with Sean Payton saying, look, this was always the target. So that means he's on track. He's on schedule. I think it's smart how you work him in. You want him to play a full game and get the full thing of snaps. But, look, man, you already saw what it sort of did. If anything, maybe kept some of the rest of the defensive line helping. Did you see the game Malcolm Brown had? He had an incredible game. And you saw what he can do. And Anyamad, and then you throw Rankins back in there. Ben, I don't think last night was a fluke. Ezekiel Elliott and that Cowboy offensive line is pretty darn good. And the Saints showed, you know what, we can drop Vondell there. We can do a play run. And our corners are, you know, going to be challenged. But if they can do it, hey, you never know what kind of defense this sort of can be. So I think it was a sign of things to come, honestly.
Our man Gus Kattengill, a poor soul today. All he wanted to do was talk Saints, and he had to rub
That's
elbows
it.
With Zion and Alvin.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for your time today.
Well, I'll leave you with this. Alvin Gentry, I don't know if it was inside info or not, but he was talking about the win last night, and he dropped an expletive, you know, when Teddy took the sack, he said, and then he said, you know, Drew thinks he can be back sooner than everybody thinks. So I don't know if that's inside info. I don't know if he talked to Drew or what, but maybe we do see him a little sooner than that. But, it was crazy. He talked Saints football for 10 minutes after our interview. I'm like, Coach, can I get back on the air?
Sources say. I love it. Gus, thanks again, my man. Have a great night.
Thank you, man.
Gus Kattengill. All right. Alvin Gentry says it from his lips to God's ears. Drew Brees will be out there playing some kind of thumb Tetris, and who knows, maybe even before the bye week. Boy, I wouldn't push it, especially if you're winning games, but time will tell. The Saints 2-0 in his absence, at least two full starts in his absence, and that's about all you can ask for right now. Hey, a huge event is coming up tomorrow night. I want to remind you again, it's the Opelousas Rotary Club auction, and it does return tomorrow, October 1st, from 6 to 10 p.m., live on KDCG 50.2. Hundreds of items available for you to bid on. Everything from sports memorabilia, vacation packages, gift certificates, home decor, and much more. So make sure you call in tomorrow from 6 to 10. Get a head start on your Christmas present shopping, why don't you? Most gift certificates will sell for 50 to 80% off, and all proceeds go to charitable causes. It's the Opelousas Rotary Club auction tomorrow, October 1st, on KDCG TV. All right, quick break. When we return, let's dive into LSU football. Let you hear from Ed Ogeron. And Clint and I will wax poetic on the AL Cy Young finish to the race between Garrett Cole. It's a pretty good mixture, right, of Garrett and Cole, Goal, and then Jurlander. I'll just continue my trend there. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. 10 minutes to 5 o'clock. We'll open up the phone line, 706-0111. Our next scheduled guest, Ruffin Rodrigue, in 25 minutes. Between now and then, Clint and I will go in on Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander in the AL Cy Young race, and then we'll dive into the latest from Ed Ogeron. Clint, I'm going to be blunt. I've had a hard time moving off my needle here. This has felt like Verlander's award for the better part of the last, 8 to 10 weeks, but it's become very hard to ignore Garrett Cole. He has certainly finished hotter. When you look at the overall stats, he's pitched about 11 less innings and given up 5 fewer runs. He struck out 26 more batters, a little better ERA. I'm not telling you that I'm fully converted because Verlander's got the better whip. He walked fewer players. It's just razor thin. I guess what I'm telling you, final day of September, I really don't know which way to go with this one. I don't know that you can make a definitive call for one over the other. I think you're shooting fish in a barrel going Cole or Verlander. They both have been that outstanding.
They really have been. It's definitely probably one of the most outstanding duos we've ever seen in terms of pitching duos in the MLB. But I'm kind of the same camp as you. I'm going to stick with Verlander. I think it's largely because you can look at all the counting stats that Gerrit Cole has, like you brought up. The big thing, the big deciding difference, Ben, is one game. I believe this was late August. The no-no. The fact, just
one
Verlander,
game in late April, which is a blow-up start for Cole, and then the no-no in late August. That's a good point. It's so you've got superlatives on different ends. I don't know, man. It's tough. That's what I will say. It's good problems to have.
I'm not complaining.
It's good problems to have if you're the Stros, but it is awfully tough. Just wanted to get a little foothold in there on the baseball conversation. I do plan to get back to the MLB playoffs in our 6 o'clock hour. How about this for a segue, Clint? Before we head into LSU soundbites from Ed Ogeron, we just talked about guys that have pretty phenomenal arms. I think we'd all agree that Jamarcus Russell on the football side qualifies. Pretty phenomenal arm, the former number one overall pick. Our guy Shea Dixon's got a sweet picture right now. Miles Brennan having a chat with Jamarcus Russell at the LSU indoor facility. So, yes, Jamarcus was recruited by and played for Jimbo Fisher, who's in College Station, but you got to like it. Miles Brennan, Jamarcus Russell, that's just some deep South love right there. That's Alabama and Mississippi combining for a little chat over in South Louisiana.
It's amazing. That's wild.
Jamarcus Russell coming back to campus today. Intriguing. All right, let's get you the latest from Coach Ed Ogeron. We'll start on the injury front. First off, edge rusher Caleb Von Chaisaw, not yet 100%.
He's still a little gimpy. I mean, he's not 100% back yet. He tried to practice last week. He did a couple of things. He's going to practice again today, but he's limited. We're going to see where we can get with him this week. We definitely need him for the pass rush. And if he's healthy, we're going to play him. But I don't know if he's going to be ready.
I wouldn't force him back into production. Not that I need to tell Ogeron, Moffitt, and Marucci what to do. But it's become pretty clear. I'm also not saying this is a bad thing. It's become pretty clear to me that the game plan in August was to get him right enough to play against Texas. Check. Played pretty well in that game. And then get him right enough during the rest of September to go against Florida and Auburn. We'll see if that's a check as well. As for the other players that have been dealing with injuries, Coach, where do they stand?
Rashard Lawrence is going to try some individual today. He's still a little gimpy. So Michael Divinity is going to practice today. He's still a little gimpy. So we're going to have to see as the week goes to see if these guys are going to be ready.
Let's get to some more from Ogeron while we have a few moments in our 4 o'clock hour. Christian Fulton is the one of LSU's two starting island cornerbacks that is most likely to move inside to accommodate for the growing need of a nickel back with so many injuries. Ogeron went in on that move.
It looked good. I think we're going to continue to look at it this week. Against certain sets, you may see it.
Okay. The brevity, not bad. Let's get some of Ogeron's takes on the Utah State Aggies offense.
Utah State's offense is a spread offense led by a very, very good quarterback in Jordan Love. One of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's thrown for over 6,000 yards and 40 TDs in his career, averaging 38 points a game. The thing that makes their offense go is the speed of the offense. Very, very fast. Faster than any team we've seen, including Missouri. So we're going to have to practice that this week. We started on a little bit last week. We're going to get better at it this week. They also do some lookovers, get the line of scrimmage, see what you in, check, and they're very good at it.
The hardest thing to combat when you deal with an offense that's going to move as quickly as Utah State will late Saturday morning is substitutions. And with the amount of injuries LSU is dealing with, that might be one area that's just a bit prickly, I would say, for a Randon company this Saturday. How do you deal with that? If you're minus Chaisaw, we'll see about Divinity, Lawrence. I mean, so many of the defensive guys, are you going to be able to throw out waves of players against an offense that goes that quickly? And as much as Burrow makes LSU go, Ed Ogeron was pretty clear on one thing. Jordan Love for Utah State certainly makes that offense go.
Very smart. Knows where to go with the ball. He's only gotten sacked 3 times this year. Quick release, can avoid pressure, is able to run the zone read. He's definitely a first-round pick, I do believe, in the NFL. We'll play in the NFL for a long time. He is an extremely good quarterback in all areas.
Getting ready for more LSU football after a week off. And we're getting ready for a busy 5 o'clock hour. We'll put a bow on this one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Insanity. Still trying to wrap my brain around LSU Florida back in primetime in Baton Rouge. Makes you think of that 07 game with Tebow, doesn't it? Makes you think of so many other great contests at night in Death Valley, but that is going to be utter insanity. Tigers Gators at night a week from Saturday. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by Village Station. We'll be right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running, still basking in the afterglow of the Saints' win over the Cowboys. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint bringing you home on a Monday. Always on 103.7 The Game. For the next hour and a half, we got you. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And I've got another number. It's for you. Let's have a conversation. Your thoughts on the Saints win, a pretty big one, I would say, last night, inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And our sink or swim question, it's still out there for you. We're getting a lot of run on social media. We'll take your calls here. Most impressive performer for Who Dat Nation in the win over the Cowboys. Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. Clint, before I go headlong right back into Saints-Cowboys talk, I never get a chance to correct you, or very rarely do I have that opportunity. One just presented itself. You mentioned during the two-minute drill that the starting time Friday for the Astros and the ALDS was TBD. That is no longer the case. We just learned 1:05 p.m. Central Time, the Astros will play either the Rays or the A's from Minute Maid Park. And so we'll have programming updates for you as far as what we're doing on Acadiana Sports Station. But I can now tell you, even though the opponent is TBD, is it Tampa or is it Oakland, first pitch Friday of the ALDS in Houston will be 1:05 Central Time. So won't conflict with Danny Jones and STM. Yep. Playing Catholic of Baton Rouge won't conflict with anything else that's going on 1:05 p.m. How you feeling about it?
I'm feeling really good about that. Some because of the fact that you brought up the STM game. Don't forget about the fact that we've got on the rewind Lafayette High Mighty Lion football. So from a radio perspective and from us, this is absolutely huge to have this game at 1:05 p.m. We can carry game one of the ALDS. I think that was a big concern for me and RP3 over the last few days. Like, when is this game going to be?
Sure. And you guys are just over there doing your little rain dance after the fact. And Jody Hopeberg is going to karate chop you guys in the neck. But we'll deal with those karate chop blows as they come. I will tell you this. A brief tease of a conversation I plan to have more fully in the 6 o'clock hour. I hope it's Tampa. I'll give you more later. I hope it's Tampa. The Rays have already announced that they're starting Charlie Morton tomorrow night in the AL wild card one-game playoff. Oakland has yet to announce their starter. That's one of the reasons why I hope it's Tampa. But again, let me save that for about an hour or so. We got Ruff and Rodri coming aboard in 10 minutes. And less than an hour from now, straight up 6 o'clock, James Buers will join us to talk STM football. And the Brobridge Tigers off to one heck of a start. So we've got a busy program for you today. Now we'll launch back in to the Saints chatter. Just wanted to make sure to get the breaking news about the Astros start time in there. Saints 12, Cowboys 10. offense again was bogged down for periods of time, but they go on just an epic 9-plus minute drive to really salt this one away when they had to. The drive didn't end terribly well with Teddy Bridgewater taking an absolutely inexcusable sack, but the Saints beat the Cowboys. They've now won two straight against playoff-caliber teams, one on the road, one in prime time, without Drew Brees. There really isn't anything else that you can ask for. The Saints are 3-1. They've got an opportunity with the slate that is laid out ahead of them to get to 5, maybe even 6 wins by the halfway point and the first and only bye week of the season. The Saints legitimately could get to 6-2. I don't think it's pie in the sky at this point because of what they've just done, because of the hay that's now in the barn. And boy, that defense is showing that it's capable of doing exactly what it did last year, if not to a higher degree. The first 2 weeks of the 2017 and 18 seasons, for that matter, were abysmal defensively. But think back to last year. Fitzmagic shredded the Saints. And if not for Zane Gonzalez, the Browns absolutely should have beaten New Orleans in week 2 of last year. And that defense started to do an about-face almost abruptly. And then Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, and that offense, led by a potent offensive line, between weeks 3 and about 9 or 10 of last year, nobody was touching New Orleans. That was the best team in football for a long time last season. And it was due in large part to the defense figuring things out. This year, there are some differences. The offensive line, no longer one of the top units in football, at least not through 4 games. At the quarter pole mark of the season, the offensive line is struggling to stay above water. I mean, the penalties. Ugh. Holding after holding after false start. And Eric McCoy certainly is learning on the fly as a rookie center. And so you couple the loss of Breeze with an offensive line that just kind of finding its way, and that's putting it mildly, it's pretty impressive what this team is doing. And they're not going to come close to being able to do it if the defense isn't suddenly playing like an opportunistic group that knows how to get off the field and maybe, just maybe, could turn into a top 10 or 12 unit in all of football with the way they're playing right now. And so the rally cry after losing Drew in Los Angeles was team football. The rallying cry was, do your job. It's what Sean Payton always says. After Bounty Gate, there was a huge banner that flew at the practice facility. It only had 3 words with a scowl on the face of Sean Payton. Do your job. Defensively, I mean, they're locking down. Lattimore on the outside. Von Bell with one of his best performances in a long time. And I would tell you, I thought the defensive line, as a position grouping, that was the MVP of the game. They were tremendous. And I could go through so many players. Cam Jordan was one of the least impactful players, at least in terms of productivity, but he continues to draw doubles. And from there, Onyemata, Davenport, in small doses, Rankins, in bigger doses, Malcolm Brown. Those guys were fantastic last night. You couple those players with the best 1-2 punch kicking the football of Morstead, Lutz, that I think any team in the NFL has. That was spectacular last night. And we said last week this game was more of a referendum on the Cowboys than the Saints. Because who had Dallas played? Ultimately, what we learned is that Dallas, you can't crown them yet, right? Denny Green style, it's not time to crown them just yet. But let's acknowledge that's a good football team. And for my money, 2 pretty darn good football teams have come from the state of Texas into the Superdome. Both have lost. Houston lost in a shootout that Breeze played in. Dallas lost in a defensive slugfest without number 9. What's the common denominator? The home crowd is slamming. And it's just a good overall Saints team that is finding different ways to win ball games. And so now you look up, and I said it once in this segment, I'll say it again. I think the expectation is now 5 wins once you get to the bye week. The expectation now has to be 5. The opportunity exists for 6. And with the way Breeze is aggressively rehabbing that thumb, doing all those thumb war exercises on the sideline, I wouldn't bet against him playing in that game at Atlanta the first week in November. All right, we're just about done with our first segment of the 5 o'clock hour. Plenty to go in our second hour. Ruff and Rodrigue on the other side of this break. We'll start off with the Cajuns, then we'll get to LSU football with Ruffin. We got some shade we'll throw at the halfway point of this hour. Yeah, we got a little Cowboys-related shade, but Mike Leach is ready to make his triumphant return to the program. And then we'll do an NFL roundup at the end of this hour. So don't go anywhere. We are Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in. Quick, fast, and in a hurry on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. It's, hey, that time of the week for us, and I've got to start as we bring on Ruffin Rodrigue, owner of Ruffino's on the River. I got to start with a vitally important question. Ruffin, we exchanged text about 15 to 20 minutes before the Cajuns played in Statesboro, Georgia. I told you that I love the Cajuns to cover and the over. Please, please tell me you got to the window in time.
All I could say is thank you very much, Ben Love. That was, you know, and I asked Gordy Rush, I texted him too, and I'm like, hey, what do you think about, you know, because Georgia Southern, we saw them, you know, how many times before the first game of the season for LSU. So I said, what's the matchup? And Gordy was I really like UL with the matchup. And, yeah, I mean, you know, UL has covered every game this season.
Yeah, that's right, even the Mississippi State game. And, you know, I'll tell you what else is interesting. It's been going over the last couple of weeks on the road despite pretty darn good defensive performances. And so this offense is doing what it has to, but the defense, I got to tell you, they're a lot better, Ruffin. I think they're in a position to compete with App State a week from Wednesday.
Ooh, it's going to be fun, man. It's, you know, the good thing is just like last year, you know, outside of the bowl game, you know, the Cajuns got better and better every week. Look, in the bowl game, they ran into we didn't know how good Tulane was until that bowl game. And then this year, what they did the other night against Houston, and, you know, Frist is such a good coach. But Billy's teams, man, you can see it, man. They just get better and better and better and better. And you know that because, I mean, he's got a great coaching staff. They, look, they're going to – it's not a secret. Billy and his coaching staff are top-notch. They're very respected all over the country. They know what they're doing. And he's going to build a great program because of recruiting and because of discipline and tackling, all the things that you just said. Why is the defense better? Because they're tackling better, you know, and they're putting themselves in position to make plays, and that's all mental. And when you get the mental game down, man, then you can let your athleticism fly. And you know, it's fun. They're fun to watch, man. I can't wait for the rest of the season.
I'll add this, Ruffin. They've got a closer at running back, and I wondered aloud on this program. Hold on, the kid Trey Regis from New Orleans, who's been a beast the last few seasons. I wondered if he wasn't suspended for the first quarter of the Mississippi State game because I don't think I saw him play. Now I'm just noticing the trend. They let some of their speedier, more athletic backs, and they got some good ones like Elijah Mitchell, carry the mail for the first half, and they just pound teams with an SEC-style running back like Regis at the end. He wore Georgia Southern out, man. Just wore him out.
Yeah, and strong legs, the end of the game, wins games. And you saw that. You know, missed tackles on the other team means their legs are tired. And when you got a guy, a workhorse like that, man, that's so hard to find. But it's such a beautiful thing when you have one. And hopefully he stays healthy and continues because I love the game plan that Billy and the staff has put together every week. You know, going up to Ohio, I thought, Ben, was such a big statement because all the national pundits had them losing. You know, they were 3-point underdogs, the whole deal, da da da. And to come out of there with a huge win like that kind of, I think, woke a lot of people up.
My producer, Ruffin, is compelling me to tell you that good teams win, but great teams cover. So are we okay with that?
That's right. Hey, look, man, keep covering, Billy. I'm happy.
We got more time here with Ruff and Rodri, owner of Ruffino's on the River. We're now into the fall season. What is the latest at Ruffino's on the River?
You know, a lot of fun stuff. We private parties are really starting to blossom with the patio outside and the view of the river and all the space we have to accommodate, you know, rehearsal dinners and, you know, obviously in December Christmas parties, but office parties and just, you know, political parties, people running for office, and we love doing them, and just a lot of fun. About to start looking at freshening up the brunch menu and coming out with some healthier items. We have a bunch of healthy items, but even getting, you know, the cauliflower craze right now is kind of fun to watch. Especially you go through Costco and you see cauliflower cheese nips, you know, or Cheez-Its, and you know, cauliflower crust pizza is a huge deal. And we found the absolute best cauliflower crust. Stays firm, doesn't get soggy, and everybody knows cauliflower doesn't have a whole lot of nutritional value, but there's no fat, no sugar, no, you know, so you can, you know, if you're on a diet, it's a perfect combination, and it's so good, and it's really selling well. So we're getting to the healthier part of the menu too, which is a lot of fun.
Got to get to LSU football with you, Ruff, and let's jump ahead to not this Saturday but next. We now know LSU Florida will be a night game. How does it make sense? I mean, the fact that A&M and Bama are playing at 2:30, I don't get that selection by CBS. I'll get your take on it. But certainly a night game will be welcome.
Yeah, I was shocked. CBS, I mean, maybe they're thinking that Florida's going to get blown out by Auburn this weekend. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. A lot of people are thinking that's going to happen. Auburn's pretty darn good. That's the only thing I can think of. But look, it's a night game in Tiger Stadium. I can promise you, this is the last thing Dan Mullen wants, especially with all the controversy in the last few years with the way that their former athletic director handled some stuff, and, you know, just kind of a nasty little feud. So it's going to be, you know, in losing that game last year the way we did over there. So it's going to be rocking, man. You know, Tiger Stadium will be rocking, and, you know, we all know Alabama's going to beat A&M by 50 points. I mean, that's not a mystery. You ever seen a team score as fast as that team can? Like they did against Ole Miss. It's crazy how fast their receivers are and how quick Tua, his release is. I mean, I could tell you, Ben, there's some great quarterbacks out there, but NFL has got to be just salivating over the release that Tua and the running ability that he has. I mean, he may be the most surefire, in my opinion, surefire number one pick coming out as I've ever seen because of his quick release. So LSU's got Florida. You know, but actually, Ben, the big thing is Utah State is pretty good.
Yep.
You know, you heard Coach Orgeron talk about it. I could tell you, they're going to be grilling in this team's head that, guys, this is not going to be a pushover. This is Troy all over again. You know, this is a good football team. Or Syracuse, when they came in with their good quarterback, you know, we took them lightly and they almost won the game. You know, you got to take these guys seriously and put them away early because they will linger around. And 11 o'clock kickoff, you know, it takes LSU always just taking them a long time to wake up and get it going. Outside of Coach Orgeron. Now, Coach Orgeron at 11 o'clock has been very, very good. They've beat some teams pretty bad at that time. So he may have a system that's better than the former coaches, because I can tell you, 11 a.m. had been pretty to the Tigers in the past.
Using that Troy game as a motivating example, that's a really, really good point. Ruffin, one more for you, and I don't know if you've seen this, but in the last hour or so, a lot of pictures that are on Twitter, Jamarcus Russell is back on campus and talking with the coaches and Miles Brennan. I've always kind of wondered about life after the NFL and his allegiance and whatnot. Sure, he's loyal to LSU, but his former head coach is at Alabama. His former offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach is at A&M. What could you share with us about, I guess, Jamarcus Russell and what you've gotten to know about him over the years?
Well, you know, Jamarcus has always been, to me, just he was a class act at LSU. Stayed out of trouble, the whole deal, and you saw his talents, and he's just a sweetheart of a guy. Actually, at LSU, he would come in the restaurant, and he brought in the girlfriend at the time was Fats Domino's granddaughter, which I thought was more exciting than meeting Jamarcus Russell. And so I love talking to her about her grandfather. And but we became very good friends. After his first year at Oakland, he brought me a jersey and signed it, and I put it up in the restaurant. All that, we all know how that turned out. But Jamarcus, his biggest thing, Ben, I don't think he ever really loved football. You know, you gotta love the game. You gotta love to want to play it. You gotta love to want to be it. And he just didn't like. And he changed the rules in the NFL. He was mainly the reason why they went to what they went to with rookies. And these huge, huge contracts. I think he got like 30-something million guaranteed and only played 3 years. Was something else. But class act. You know, outside of he did some crazy stuff after LSU, but don't we all in our early 20s? And he's growing up, and he's hopefully he's having a great life. I haven't seen him. I hope I get to see him when he's in town, but great guy.
Yeah, good to see him back on campus. Ruffin, great to talk with you as always. I'll see if I can put you on another good beat sooner than later, my man.
Please do, man. Billy, keep covering, man. I tell you. Vegas sometimes, Ben, just doesn't think about these lighter teams. The mid majors, they call them, or whatever. And they just forget about them. And look, let me tell you something. This is a great coaching staff that we have in Lafayette, and great players are coming in. And they're only going to get better and better from here on.
Completely agree. Look forward to talking next Monday.
Sounds good, Ben. Have a good day.
You as well. Ruffin Rodriguez joining the program. Clint, when you're right, you're right. And when you're hot, you're hot. Maybe the line of the show so far from the famous Clint D. Good teams win.
Great teams cover. That's how it's got to be, man.
And the Cajuns right now flexing those great muscles. We'll see if that continues. I'll be very curious about an early line for Cajuns App State. Might have set some over-under lines myself on attendance for that game. I got a few marbles that are bouncing around upstairs in the noggin that I'll probably have to speak on that later in the week. But right now, let's take a quick break. When we return, time to throw some shade. Dallas Cowboys football, you can come on down. And Mike Leach, he's back for the party. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back ourselves on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back at it into the back half of our 5 o'clock hour. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we've got room for you between now and 6 o'clock when James Buers joins us to talk high school football. Give us a shout. Saints beat the Cowboys, and nobody wants to crow about that. Interesting on a Monday. 706-0111. Clint, I mentioned we do have a start time that's been announced for game one of the ALDS. Stros will either take on Tampa or Oakland, and it'll be Friday at 1:05. That's first pitch from Minute Maid. We also know the start time for Saturday, and if you're an LSU fan, frankly, Cajuns are off. If you're a fan of either or both of the Cajuns and Tigers, this will not conflict with you.
Exactly. This is going to be an 8:05 first pitch, I believe, or 8:07, excuse me, 8:07.
What will we do with the 2 minutes?
I don't know. I'm going to have Stevie Sparks and crew go an extra 2 minutes with their pregame show, which I believe will start at 7:30.
So Friday, game one from Minute Maid, 1:05, and then 8:07 p.m. is your start time for game two. We're going to carry all these ball games here on Acadiana Sports Station. Before we dive right into a little shade, well, maybe a lot of shade, another thing that I found very interesting, and we're jumping a bit all over the place, but I haven't got to touch on this yet. We'll do full-on high school football talk with James Buers, as I mentioned, at 6. Did you catch Sulphur firing its head coach today after 4 games?
I had not seen that.
4 games.
Wow.
Sulphur, off to a 1-3 start. I couldn't begin to tell you why, nor has it been released, but Cecil Thomas, former Walker coach, went over to lead the tours, and The Tours did not take kindly to a 1-3 start, so Cecil Thomas out as head coach at Sulphur. 4 games. That is not a lot of meat on the bone, so I would suspect there will be some questions asked, hopefully some explanations coming. Just wanted to make sure that we kept you up to speed on that info. It's a 3-5A opponent of Acadiana, Southside, Lafayette High, Nish, and so forth and so on. And, not coincidentally, that leads me into reminding you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust the management top down, starting with Mark, to help you sit down, create a vision, and then they can fulfill it for you. Before the Super Bowl, you can have the best patio game on the block, but only if you start with a trip to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I'm pretty geeked, to be honest with you, that we're reintroducing Mike Leach into this segment, the head pirate out in Pullman, Washington. But before we can go there, you noticed, following the Saints' 12-10 win over the Cowboys, some premium shade from the Big Easy.
Exactly, some premium shade from whoever was running the PA system at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Mind you, that person might no longer have employment at this point. We haven't heard anything about that, but we got to have fun with it. Right after the game ended, as everybody was starting to file out, all of a sudden you hear Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and their song, "Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys." That is primo shade. If only it had lived up to the hype and had it be a 50-50 kind of crowd, but it did not. Definitely was almost 100% New Orleans Saints.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. And the very first thing that that reminds me of is Cam Newton's final year at Auburn. And they go to Tuscaloosa, and the student worker in charge of the PA and Bryant Denny, in the pregame warm-ups, plays "Son of a Preacher Man" and "Take the Money and Run." Yeah, that person was relinquished and relieved of their duties. But on the pro level, I don't think that should happen. I hope this person didn't lose their job. All right, how about a quick segue? I'll get to Mike Leach, and we've got two bits of sound. Frankly, this shade is an excuse to play some Mike Leach from last week that we overlooked. But Washington State, the Cougars got walloped at number 19 Utah. Final score 38-13 over the weekend. He was not pleased, not even a little bit, with his team's effort.
We're a very soft team. You know, we get a lot of good press. We like to read it a lot. We like to pat ourselves on the back. You know, and if we get any resistance, we fold. And what's amazing about this is most of these guys were on the same team last year that was a tough team. Last year's team was a tough team for us. We got nearly the same guys, and now all of a sudden they're not tough. You know, they're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled.
We are fat, dumb, happy, and entitled. Frank, I know we got you on the line, amigo, but I wanted to play that shade basically so we can get to last week's clip of Mike Leach talking about an all-out mascot war from amongst the Pac-12. This is some of the best you'll hear all year long.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something, I don't know. A duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that youth's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a sun devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
This man is getting paid millions of dollars to coach football, and we're utterly wasting his talents. I've never heard anything quite like that. If that Ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. There are so many parts of that. Go get the Harry Potter activist out there. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did the first time I heard it. Mike Leach, take a bow.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Consider his life. This week, Mike Leach's team is soft. Last week, he's just unsure if the Ute is on horseback. Does he have a bow and arrow? Has he traded for a rifle? Makes a lot of difference. All right, let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, you'll understand why that had to be done. Thanks for the patience.
Absolutely, Ben. Anytime you want to put Leach on, put me in the back seat, because that's always gold.
What you got today?
I need everybody to get off of Bridgewater's back. You understand, and all who that's out there, and from what I heard when I jumped in the car, I can't believe nobody called in. Special teams is called special teams because of what they did.
Yeah, and I think the defense, for me, has taken more of a step forward in life after Breeze than I would have imagined. And it's not just the Atlas routine, right, where Cam Jordan puts the team on his back. Lattimore's playing like he was as a rookie. The defensive line is getting, I mean, joint efforts from so many different players, and you're starting to see, I think, with this influx of talent surrounding Davis at linebacker. I know Anzalone's out, but now they're playing Klein. Kiko Alonso, I thought, was pretty good last night. The defense, along with the special teams, has more than picked up the slack.
Well, the play calling of Dennis Allen, I think he stepped up his game. You know, it's time to get it. You know, this offense is not the same without Breeze, but this defense and his play calling, I thought his play calling was phenomenal from first quarter to fourth quarter. I thought the blitz on the punt, that was a brilliant idea.
I'm with you. And right now, this team at 3-1, still all of the possibilities that we all foresaw in the preseason. Frank, knew we could count on you, brother. Thanks for the dial.
Too easy, Ben.
It's like stealing. It is easy. We could take more on the other side of this break at 706-0111. As we head toward a brief siesta, would you like to win a pair of tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts? If the answer is yes, then text Ann, A-N-N, Ann to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see them live this Saturday at the Cajun Dome. Once again, just text Ann to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts this Saturday at the Cajun Dome. We'll be right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll span the NFL when we return on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parks III here, host of RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports.
I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I think Trubisky continues to take steps forward. Underrated receiving core. One of the best two defenses in the league. I like Chicago this year a good bit. I'm going to say the Bears finish as the number one team in the NFC. Now, is that actually going to happen? I'm not so sure. But some of the things that I laid out there, my book it predictions from late August, some of those things rang true yesterday in the Bears' convincing win over the Vikings. Others did not. As we're back in one more time in the 5 o'clock hour, I want to take a stroll around the NFL. Yeah, we've spent plenty of time on what might be the talk of the league, frankly. I mean, the Saints winning games without Breeze, unbelievable. And we spent a lot of time there. But there were some other teams, some other performances that I think warrant our time on a day after a pretty interesting week four Sunday in the NFL. The Bears lost Trubisky, who you heard me talking about there. How long will he be out? Nobody's really sure at this point. One thing we do know is this. Bears are in London this weekend, and they've taken the tack that they're going to practice in Chicago all the way through Thursday and then fly overnight, Thursday through Friday, to go to foggy London town. Is it going to be Chase Daniel, former New Orleans Saint and Breeze backup, as their starter in perpetuity? Or more likely, are they going out to try and get a hired hand? That we don't know. But Clint, this I do know. There's one thing I said in that statement that I'll amend. I said the Bears have a top one or two defense in the league. Forget about the or two part. The Bears' defense is nuts. And what they did to Kirk Cousins and company yesterday, absolutely incredible. I still think that that's a team that has a whole lot of potential this year. The Bears' defense is the best in the league, and that's with all due respect to everybody else.
Exactly, and it was just impressive to see what they were able to do, not just on the defensive side of the football, being able to hold down Kirk Cousins and this Vikings offense. It was just the fact that they were able to get the win with, of all people, Chase Daniel, a former Saints backup.
You know what the best game was yesterday? I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Saints weren't on, obviously, in the noon slot.
Yep.
So that meant we got treated to Lions-Chiefs.
That was a fun game.
Holy hell. Five lead changes in the second half alone.
Yep.
The Lions are a lot better than anybody, including yours truly, would have given them credit for prior to the season, or did give them credit for. 2-0-1, and really had the Chiefs on the ropes for a lot of that game yesterday. Pat Mahomes ended up doing some MVP Pat Mahomes-like things.
Yep.
Former LSU Tiger Darrell Williams. Yeah, when you were drafting backs for the Chiefs in your fantasy league, everybody thought it was D. Williams, Damian Williams. No, it's D. Williams, Darrell Williams, dog, and he's really good. The former John Aaron Patriot shined at LSU when he had chances backing up Fournette, and we'll get to Fournette here in a moment. Playing alongside Darius Geis when Darius got injured a little bit, Darrell Williams looked really good and a pretty natural fit in an offense where, honestly, I think a lot of people would look pretty darn good. And I'll say this, too. The singular amazing play and signature play of the NFL season so far, if you didn't see it, Mahomes to Travis Kelce, impromptu lateral behind him to Shady McCoy. Wasn't a touchdown play, but, dude, it was awesome. And it reminded me a little bit of, think when Randy Moss catches the Hail Mary at the end of the first half and throws it over his shoulder.
Yeah.
I think it was to Robert Smith, but whoever the back was, and they scored a touchdown. I watched it yesterday. My family and I who were watching it went absolutely nuts. And I told them, now that I've seen football played this way, it's the only way that I want to see it. It no longer counts as a completed pass unless you also lateral it rugby style and pick up more yards. It was amazing. That was a really, really fun game to watch. Lions are going to win some more games this year. All right, I mentioned LF7. I guess he's now LF27, Leonard Fournette. I had a text during the break. Somebody said, why didn't you go with Leonard Fournette and Cam Robinson as throwing shade? Please tell me, Clint, that you saw that at the end of the Jags-Broncos game yesterday.
Those two just jaw-jacking. The LSU-Bama hate is far too real.
And those were two guys that were involved in the 2-for-5 night. Cam Robinson didn't exactly pick LSU that night. Tropicana Field in Orlando, Leonard Fournette did. And this is proof that Leonard hasn't forgotten. But the Broncos, let me rephrase that, the Jaguars beat the Broncos in Denver. Last second kick, Fournette runs wild, 220-plus on the ground, 20-plus more receiving, a career day for Fournette. But on the final play, when Fournette, Gardner Minshew, and the Jags are trying to set up a game-winning field goal, Cam Robinson loses his ever-loving mind and almost, and I mean, I watched it happen, almost drew a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which would have pushed him out of field goal range. And, oh, by the way, 20-mile-an-hour winds were gusting into the kicker's face. So a 15-yard penalty might have been a death nail there.
Yep.
And even as the kick sailed through the uprights and Jags players should have been celebrating, Jalen Ramsey was not the most disgruntled player on the Jags sideline. That was Leonard Fournette, who was giving a tongue-lashing to Cam Robinson. And if you saw it happen,
yeah,
you completely understand why, but it's just bizarre. Your team is in the process of winning on the road. Last-second kick, right? Time expires. Jubilation. No, man. Fournette giving the business to Cam Robinson. And I'm here to tell you, I stand behind it.
And I'm with you as well. Everything that what happened was absolutely justified. And before we kind of wrap up this like hour, Ben, I want to throw this question that I threw to Jordy during Hot Topics, and that's, is this the year of the backup quarterback? We bring up Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, Chase Daniel, amongst countless others. It's
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett, even though I feel like he's really good and he's shown himself. But it's amazing to see how many backups there are playing in the league right now.
There's no question. And Daniel Jones in that conversation, backups that are playing.
Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, yep. And a lot of them winning games. I know that Josh Allen went out yesterday and Matt Barkley had to come in the fourth quarter against New England. It is a bizarre time right now, right? And so you just got to continue to hope your defense and special teams come to play because if you're relying on some of these backups, wow, I wasn't sure some of the starters were all that good. So you really are grasping at straws. Mamas, don't let your boys grow up to be Cowboys, but you should let them be quarterbacks. The league could use some. We'll be right back in a half hour to go. James Buers. When we return, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on a jubilant B2BS Monday show. Always on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Right back at it. Time for the final hour of Bumper to Bumper Sports. It's been a pleasure to bring you home. Let's keep it going for another half hour on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Both of us live inside the 237 Roof Studios. And you know we talk high school football Mondays in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's get out quickly to the Ardco Equipment Hotline and bring aboard James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate. All right, James, we're creeping up on the halfway point of this season. That means we're both getting older in a hurry. It also means we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no, definitely have a lot to talk about. It's odd that it's already week 5 of the season, but still plenty to go. And, I mean, there's some huge matchups this weekend that certainly bring a lot of intrigue, not only in the area but around the state. And I'm sure we'll talk about the big one this Friday.
Why don't we talk all around St. Thomas More football? We'll look back first. How do you put into perspective 35-6 and not only beating Neville, but beating them in a lot of ways at their own game and being more physical than a perennial power?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of think this kind of tells you where that team is a program at this point. They are, you know, one of the best teams in the state. I don't really think that can be argued. I mean, they're up there with Catholic High, who they'll play this weekend, and John Curtis. You know, you know, everybody talks about how prolific they are on offense, and this past weekend, you know, not only was the passing game sharp as it always is, but they got some really nice contributions from Tobin Debono, their running back, who's actually entered the season as the backup behind Noah Frederick, but with Noah dealing with an injury, Tobin had to kind of step up. And what's funny, you know, is Tobin and Noah are basically kind of the same type of running back. They're both short in stature, but they run the ball really effectively, and Tobin finished with 140 yards and a couple touchdowns, and he overcame a fumble early in the game to, that allowed set up a Neville field goal, but he responded from that and, you know, gave him a great game. But defensively, they're terrific. I mean, I think they've now given up less than 20 points in 4 straight games. So, I mean, this is just an all-around great football team, and to beat a Neville team that was 3-0 entering the game, had beaten Ruston, had beaten U-High by a shutout, had beaten Wachusett Parish, even beaten West Monroe, their rival in the Jamboree. I think that says a lot about what kind of team the Cougars are this year.
We'll look ahead to this weekend. It's a fourth straight game at Cougars Stadium, and this one, I think the stakes go even higher, if you can believe that, James. It'll be STM versus Catholic Baton Rouge, and you really could toss it up in the air for who had the more impressive win last week, right? Is it STM at home against Neville? Is it Catholic in dominating fashion against Edna Carr? I guess give me your take and then handicap this huge matchup in Lafayette.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, STM has lost only 10 games over the last 4 years, and four of them have come against Catholic of Baton Rouge. And last year was a kind of a tough loss for the Cougars. They were up by 22 points at one point in the game, and then Catholic responded by scoring on 7 of their 8 final drives and won the game 50-something to 40-something. So, clearly STM has struggled with Catholic, relatively speaking, but, if last year was any indication, I think it shows you that STM is, if they can get out to a big lead and hold on late, they're going to have a chance in this game. And, you mentioned it. I mean, Catholic beating Carr, especially, I think they scored like 40 unanswered points or something like that in that game. That says a lot about what kind of team Gabe Fertitta's got it at Catholic this year. So it's really a fascinating matchup. You know, last week's game was big. I mean, even, Shane Savoy, the STM offensive coordinator, was telling me that Jim Hightower was kind of talking about it like it being sort of a state semifinal game at week 4 of the season. Well, this is kind of like a championship game in week 5 of the season. I know these two teams playing different divisions in the playoffs, but still they're kind of on equal footing. So it should be a really fun game. I expect a pretty lively environment at Cougar Stadium this weekend.
They could fit about 7,000, maybe 7,500 naturally. But Jim Hightower told me when we get standing room, then we're starting to talk about 8,000. I think they're going to get that in back-to-back weeks for STM football. Our guest for another few moments, James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate. You said last week, James, and I agreed with you, Southside High, Lafayette High were probably the talks of the area, the biggest surprises of the area. A week later, I'm going to put forward Bro Bridge to you. What can you tell me about that team and suddenly what Chad Porcio's group is putting on film?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating what they've done so far this season, because, I mean, you saw it in the Jamboree. I mean, Karen Crow, handled them. I mean, it was pretty easy. Like, they lost the game 20-0, but even more than that, Karen Crow scored in all three of its possessions, and Brobridge didn't cross midfield. And it was, I was thinking to myself, man, it could be a long year for the Tigers if they were really struggling to protect quarterback Gavin Corville in that game. But, the one thing Chad told me last week was that, it was his first game calling plays on offense, because keep in mind, Chad has been the defensive coordinator his entire time at Brobridge, even before he became the head coach. So it was an adjustment for him. He'd called plays on offense before, but not at Brobridge, and he hadn't done it for a while. So he needed to kind of settle in. And also, some of his defensive assistants are now kind of collaborating to call the defense, so they needed some time to adjust. And also, they needed to just kind of shuffle around the offensive line to figure out what fit best. And I think lately they've really kind of settled in and figured things out. And, it's really easy when you have playmakers like Pop Girard and Kavon Martin and even the quarterback Corville is having a great season so far this year. So, I mean, Brobridge is, and I've also been really impressed with their defense. They kind of contained really made Eunice struggle in that game last week. Eunice ended up having like 7 turnovers, some of which were probably self-inflicted, but at the same time, when you're able to get that many takeaways, your chances of winning are going to skyrocket. So, Chad and Brobridge deserve plenty of credit for what they've been able to do this year. They've now beaten 2 state finalists, the other one, aside from Eunice, being Catholic and New Iberia. And now they play a Turlings team who they haven't beaten in a while. The last time they beat them, I believe, was in 2010. So they've lost the last 8 games. And they've really struggled to score points against Turlings. I don't think they've scored more than 15 points in any of those last 8 games. So it's certainly going to be a challenge for Brobridge this week. But, with the way they're playing, I think they're going to have a chance in this game for sure, especially being at home.
Keeping it rolling right now with James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate. What else kind of gets your tentacles going up when you think about week 5 and the big matchups in our Acadiana area?
Yeah, I do think that Acadiana Southside game is really interesting. It's two schools obviously that have never played each other, but they're now district rivals. And I expect in the future that will kind of become a rivalry. And I was impressed with the way Southside handled themselves in their first true road test, first ever district game against Barb. You know, they lost the game by 14 points, but you know, it was tight late. I think in the fourth quarter, it might have been a 7-point game. You know, obviously I wasn't at it to see it firsthand, but just looking at the box score and looking at the stats, it sounds like, you know, Southside really acquitted themselves well. And Dylan Monette had a monster game, the Southside quarterback. He threw for 412 yards. So that certainly shows you where Southside is offensively, that they can move the ball on really good teams. And obviously Acadiana got a huge win last week against Sulphur. That's not necessarily a surprise, but it was their first time scoring more than 30 points. And what did they do? They scored 70 points. So it was a monster offensive night for the Wrecking Rams. And so I'm really intrigued by that game. The other game, too, that I should mention is the Ascension Catholic New Iberia game. Catholic New Iberia got off to a rough start at 0-3, played some really tough teams. And then Ascension is at 3-1 right now. Their only loss was to North Vermilion in overtime. And that game kind of serves as the district championship. You know, in District 7-2A, it's basically Catholic New Iberia, Ascension Episcopal, and everybody else. So it's kind of odd that a district championship-type game is in week 5 of the season, but that's kind of what it is in that district. And, you know, the last two games against those two teams have kind of been odd. The first one I covered a couple of years ago was kind of a mud pit type game, defensive battle. Last year was a game with tons of turnovers, but Catholic kind of pulled away late. So I'm interested to see what happens this year between those two teams.
Before we let you go, I get the same question just about every week. Where are the select championships going to be held? I know that you probably don't hold all those answers, but the latest that you can share on that front, James.
Well, yeah, you know, to be honest, I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't. I think that's still kind of in the works. I mean, you know, people have talked about, you know, maybe it being at Southeastern, Tulane, UL, you know, but it still seems to be kind of an ongoing process for where they're going to be held. But what I can tell you is that they're not going to be at the Superdome. That has been decided. The select schools voted. It was not a unanimous vote. It had to be unanimous in order for it to go back to the Superdome, and it was not. So, the select school championships are not going to be held at the Superdome. So I know that for certain, but where will be beyond that, I don't know. But I would guess probably either Southeastern, UL, or Tulane, one of those three schools.
I can give you some interesting innuendo on that front, James. The word I get is that within the newly formed LSA, right, the Louisiana Select Association, there has been one dissenting vote on having a unified location for the state football championship. And basically, it's Wachita Parish. And basically, it's the Robertson family that owns Duck Commander that is saying, we'll pay whatever it takes to make sure if our guys are in it, we're hosting it in North Louisiana. That's pretty fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I've heard people say this. You know, it's hard enough to get people, you know, a unanimous vote for where you know, a group of people should go to lunch, let alone when you're trying to figure out where a state championship should be played. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me that there's one dissenter, but hopefully some sort of conclusion, you know, comes with this because, I mean, people want to know, I mean, where are these championship games going to be played? I mean, I want to know as a journalist just so we know where we're going at the end of the season because we certainly are going to have some select school representation from this area. So the sooner the better, certainly.
James, you know we're going to be following you at the Acadian Advocate. As always, thanks for the time. Have a great week, my friend.
Thanks so much, man. Have a good one.
He's the man, especially when it comes to following all of your favorite prep football online. Of course, we like to think we do a pretty good job of that as well. So as much as, you know, we throw the bouquets out to James Buers, make sure you check out our content as often as you can. We refresh it all the time. It's more than just scores, more than just on-demand audio, but some really cool feature stories as well on the teams that we carry in our family of stations. So check our website out, 1037thegame.com. And then to get ready this Friday, listen to Football Night in Acadiana, the pregame show. Myself, RP3, it'll begin from 6 and go until 6:30, leading you right into STM, Catholic of Baton Rouge. And then after that Battle of the Titans in the Hub City is done, Clint will bring you home with Football Night in Acadiana post-game style. Yeah, we love us some high school football, and we like to think that it shows because we know exactly what you like. All right, we got one more segment to go, and then it's Monday Night Football time. If you can survive Bengals, Steelers, God bless you. That must mean you have some fantasy bones on the line, or maybe you just have some actual ducks out there that you're betting on. We'll find out.
but you're going to be able to hear it starting at 6:30 with the pregame show. Kickoff in that AFC North battle is right after 7 o'clock. But when we return, I want to switch it up and go to the Major League Baseball playoffs. I think they're very, very intriguing this year. Stick with me. I'll explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And as always, you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Back in one final time on a Monday. Football, football, football. It's what we do. It's just about all we're consumed with when it comes to sports, except for the Houston Astros. And except for the Major League Baseball playoffs, we're at that fun time of year where I think everybody realizes it's all ended, but in reality, it's just begun. The 162-game grind that is the regular season, it's done. The Astros, they've got the best record, not just in the AL, all of Major League Baseball. And I want to talk some playoffs here. Yeah, we got Monday Night Football, and soon we will send you to what used to be AFC North royalty. Yeah, you'll get Pittsburgh, Cincy, and you'll deal with that on Acadiana Sports Station. But let's talk some baseball first. We do have a couple of wild card games tomorrow night. First up, Brewers at the Nationals. Brew Crew, last year, on the verge of heading to a World Series. They're trying to do it without reigning NL MVP Christian Yelich. They're going to bring Brandon Woodruff to the mound tomorrow evening to go against Mad Max Scherzer. You have to like Scherzer and the Nationals. Efforts, their chances, and basically you got to like their opportunity to get through and take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, that's Tuesday night, wild card on the NL side, on the AL side. And yeah, that's the one I understand everybody listening, for the most part, will care more about. You're going to get a Wednesday night showdown between the Rays of Tampa and the Oakland A's. Everybody in the AL West, a lot more familiar with the A's, the challenge they provide. 97-65, runners up to the Astros, right, in the division. But what's interesting is that the Rays are going to be throwing out a name that Astros fans are awfully familiar with. He played for the team a year ago, and of course, that's Charlie Morton. And so already the Rays have announced that Morton at 16-6, 240 strikeouts on the year. And it's not 300-plus like JV or Cole, but it's damn good. It'll be Morton on the bump for Tampa on the road Wednesday. As far as Oakland, they are yet, the A's, to name their starter. And so I think that we have a couple of intriguing games. I would lean toward the home team on the NL side to get out of the wild card affair. I like the Nationals, and isn't it ironic? I know, Alanis Morissette verbiage for you. But it is fairly ironic that the year after Bryce Harper leaves town, there might be an opportunity for the Nationals to advance in the playoffs and take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I like the home team in the NL wild card one-game playoff. I think I may actually like the road team. And I think that may actually be a better thing for the Astros as well if Tampa can survive with Charlie Morton. A couple of reasons. Number one, imagine it this way. If the Astros were in that game, you know they would pitch Justin Verlander as long as everything lined up for him to do so, right? It's a winner-go-home game. You got to throw your best. Well, Tampa's doing just that. And so if they advance, you're not going to have to face Charlie Morton again on Friday or Saturday, which completely takes out of the realm of possibility having to face Charlie Morton twice in a potential five-game series. And so I think, for me, that's number one. Oakland obviously is going to have to pitch some of their best as well. So you could argue that's going to happen no matter which side of the ledger you're on. But I like the idea of Tampa coming to Houston and not really having Charlie Morton in the back pocket twice, and not certainly for the first game, probably two, just in general. So I kind of like that part. The other thing is I'm not usually a huge fan of having to face your division in the playoffs. Sometimes it's inevitable, and we think of all the different Sox-Yankees battles through the years, and that kind of formulates our opinion of, hey, look, it can happen one way or the other. Yeah, but all things equal, I think at this point I would rather the Stros go through Tampa and then face, I mean, in a perfect world, the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, the Twinkies are probably still a little undervalued. Even after vanquishing the Indians in the AL Central, even after setting a new freaking MLB home run record for a season, I still kind of think I'd rather face them than the Yankees. Why? I would rather be out at Minnesota in their ballpark, whatever it is, U.S. Bank Park. I'd rather be there, frankly, for the road games than travel and play the mystique, the fan base, and everything that is the New York Yankees. I have that kind of feeling. And you may say, Ben, that is baseball favoritism. I don't know. Maybe it is. And maybe the Twins have a better team than the Yankees. I just have a feeling I'd rather see what's behind door number one with Minnesota. I know what's behind door number two. It's a tough place to play and win. And yeah, I understand that the Stros have done it and that Dallas Keuchel won an all-important elimination game in the Bronx. So it does happen and it can happen, but all things equal, I'd rather be Tampa and then Minnesota. But I started to get into a little bit of the rest of the playoff bracket there, so let's go fully into the deep end before we run out of space today. I gave you Tuesday, Wednesday wildcard games. The NL matchup that's already known is going to pit a couple of teams against one another that I have seen in person so far this season. I have been to Busch Stadium in St. Louis, and I've been out to SunTrust Park in Marietta, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So Cardinals at Braves, to me, hey, that's pretty spicy. I got a lot of friends on both sides of that one. That one, to me, should be an awful lot of fun. And then Friday, the first of two games, it'll be the Twins and the Yankees. And that's just, like I mentioned, the games that are known at this point. So I think we have some pretty darn worthy playoff teams and pretty darn worthy playoff matchups. I am not just excited, I am freaking ecstatic that I don't have to listen to Cubs or Red Sox Nation through any of these playoffs. And I like where the Astros are at. I really do. I gave you my potential and preferred matchups in the ALDS and the ALCS, but I'll tell you right now, I would absolutely go hog wild over either Stros versus Cardinals or Stros versus Braves. You know my allegiance. I've told you on this show time and again. Clint, stop shaking your head. Yes, I'm a Cardinals fan. I came across it honestly from my dad's side of the family that still really lives in that area. But if the Braves got through, and my boy, Ronald Acuna Jr., got to shine on that stage, I wouldn't be overly mad about it. So we have an opportunity to really enjoy these playoffs, and I think the Stros have a phenomenal chance at taking it back, as has been the stated mission all season long. And you know we'll be carrying it, Astros baseball, on Acadiana Sports Station. All right, I'm just about out of time, and real estate, don't forget, tomorrow, B2BS will be live at Pete's on Johnston, everything you're used to, between 4 and 6. Quality sports talk radio, including a visit with Shea Dixon, go247.com, and then the Acadiana Wreckin' Rams with head coach Matt McCullough will invade our prep power hour from 6 to 7. So you love Acadiana football, do yourself a favor. Come stop by, have some fun with us tomorrow at Pete's on Johnston. Coming up next, Monday Night Football. And so for all of our guests, all of our listeners, the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.